Happening in the Muslim Lands, a new memoir by Professor Leila Ahmed, or Muslim political candidates in the USA. These and more are questions you can hear discussed on Tahrir, WBAI's magazine of the Arab Muslim community. Marhaba, I'm Barbara Nimri Aziz, and I'd like every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. That's Tuesdays from 9 to 10 p.m. here on listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. You're sure to find something new and sometimes controversy.
This is Phil Lesh of the Grateful Dead. You're listening to WBAI FM New York City 99.5.
This is WBAI-FM in New York.
I played a piece of John Cage's called WBAI. And so for me, WBAI is fixed in my mind as being a kind of progressive, intelligent, on the ball, witty area of broadcasting. And I guess certainly the conversation we've had just now seems to confirm that probably is the case.
This is Richard Belzer. Since the 1960s, when I wanted to be really informed, aside from the mainstream, I listened to WBAI. I got war news, I got news on the civil rights movement, I got copied from news sources that weren't generally used by the mainstream in America. It helped educate me and shape my thoughts, and I hope that you contribute and listen to this station because it's an important part of what America was supposed to be all about. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ben Gillette of Penn & Teller, and you're listening to WBAI, listener-supported radio.
In New York City.
Hi, this is Tony Bennett.
WBAI.
WBAI-FM.
The soundtrack of New York City.
And you're listening to radio, you're listening to radio station WBAI in New York, where the time is just about 8 o'clock, and that means it's off the hook time.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. On Billy Bond for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. On Billy Bond.
And we have a whole lot of things to talk to you about tonight on Off the Hook. This is Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour. And we'll get right into it. But first, this public service. Okay, I had the whole thing lined up here. And the CD player... Okay, we're just going to start over again as if that didn't happen. You line something up with a perfect segue and all that, and it jumps ahead. Now, I was going to say... All right, that is something known as a cart machine. It doesn't queue up or just keeps going forever. Okay, I can see what kind of show this is going to be. All right, as I was trying to say, we're going to start the show as soon as we have this public service announcement.
This is a public service announcement.
The whole effect is lost.
Unless it was done.
Okay. This is Off the Hook, the program about technology where we somehow manage to mess up technology every single week and do something a little bit different. How you doing, Isaac?
All right. That's the irony of this business.
Yeah, it is the irony, isn't it? Just keeps hitting me full in the face. Well, this is our last show before the marathon begins. We'll be doing a fundraiser next week. In fact, the fundraiser begins tomorrow. And actually, I guess this is as good a point as any to talk to people about the importance of this particular fundraiser. Because as you know, there's been all kinds of tumult and interesting things going on. All kinds of international attention being drawn right upon this very place. And unfortunately, we can't really get into the details of that. But I think it is important for people to realize that despite all of that, we have to continue going here. And for that, we need the help of our listeners, because we are listener-supported, listener-sponsored. We don't have any commercials. And we pretty much, for the most part, for, 80% of it, we say as we please. And bring you all kinds of different things, cutting-edge material. We have details of some fascinating developments in the technological world this week, and we'll be taking phone calls later on. I know there are a lot of people that are having all kinds of moral dilemmas as to whether or not they should support the radio station at this particular time in our history. And I've gone through the same moral dilemmas myself. I've been wondering, thinking about this for a number of weeks. And I think that I've pretty much played it out as much as I can possibly play it out. And I'm hoping that my stream of consciousness is kind of on the same level as what other people are going through as well. See, I think there are a few different scenarios that can play out. There are the scenarios where basically you say that the station is not exactly where you want it to be, so you're not going to contribute to the station and wait for the station to be what you want to be before you contribute to it again, and in the meantime contribute to other causes as well that will help get the station there. Well, that's fine, but here are the scenarios that I see working out as a result of that, as a result of not contributing to the station. Maybe I should save this for next week, but this is just what's on my mind right now. If you don't contribute to the station and the station doesn't do well because people don't contribute to the radio station, I consider that to be a loss. I consider that to be a losing proposition, for the reason that a weak radio station, a weak community-supported radio station, says that there's a weak community behind the radio station and that there's not enough support. It's not likely that people who you might view as trying to manipulate the future of the station and trying to control things and maybe do bad things to the station, it's not likely that they're going to look at that and say, nobody supported the station, so I guess we should give the station to those people that didn't support it. I just don't see that working out in their heads. I mean, I can follow the logic. I can understand why people would do that, but I don't see that as playing out. So I see that as a loss if people don't contribute and the station doesn't do well in the marathon. Now, here's the other scenario. People don't contribute and the station does do well in the marathon. Now, that's a loss too, because the nature of radio, we could send out a little sub-electronic beep that can go over the FM airwaves. You won't hear it, but it's a frequency that will kill everybody that listens to this particular radio station at the time, if they have the radio on. You don't know about this. No, a lot of people don't know about this. Okay, well, that's one of the things. Maybe there's another radio show that can go more into detail about that. But yeah, if we were to send that little pulse out, it's more like a frequency, not really a pulse. And all of our listeners were to just keel over immediately, guess what would start happening? More people would start tuning in. New listeners would start tuning in. And before you know it, we'd have a whole different audience. Wouldn't be the same audience, but it would be an audience. Maybe an audience that likes to hear jazz or country and western or something like that. We'd draw those people in. And those people would contribute. Those people would make the station succeed. And they'd just ask one thing from us. More jazz. More country and western, please. And they being our listeners, they being the people that contribute to the radio station, they being the ones that keep us afloat, we'd be sort of compelled to listen to them, just as we're currently compelled to listen to our current listeners. So that's the other scenario where people don't contribute and the station does well. I see that as not a good thing either, because we want to keep the direction that we're going in. We want to keep the subject that we talk about. We want to keep the programs that we've had on the air for lo these many years, the alternative views, the mere possibility that somebody out there can get a voice on the radio station. That's something that still exists to this day. And while it may be very much in danger, the fact of the matter is it's still here, and supporting it says that you support that kind of radio. All right, so those are two losing propositions that I see from people not contributing. All right, either the station does badly or the station does well, but the station does well with a whole other group of people. And there are other people out there. There are other people out there that would steer this station in a completely different direction, just waiting to get in. Okay, so now we have other scenarios. We have the scenarios where people do give money to the radio station during our fundraiser, which begins tomorrow. And the first scenario is people give, they give generously, and the next day the station gets boarded up and padlocked and turned into country and western and jazz or whatever nightmare you see coming down the road. Yeah, we're screwed. Yeah, we're totally deceived. We pledged money to this place, and it's taken out from under us. It's a risk. It's a chance. It could happen. But you know what? It's an investment. We're asking you to invest in the radio station so that we hope it will continue and grow and strengthen. But every investment carries a risk. So there is that possibility. Yes, there is that possibility. And then the final scenario that I came up with is that people donate to the radio station. The radio station is strong. The radio station is strong with current listeners, with people who believe in the radio station as it has been in the past, as it mostly is now, and as hopefully it'll be one day in the future. And that voice is listened to. That voice means something. That voice carries weight. People realize that because they contribute to the radio station, they have a voice, they have a say, and they take more of an interest, and they help bring this place to where it should be. And all the scenarios I was able to come up with, there are little variations on each one of these, that's the only one I can think of where there's a winning ending. Everything else has losses. Everything else is bad. So, yeah, it's not guaranteed that things will work out, but there's a chance. So that's why I hope people contribute next week on our show and throughout the marathon and other programs that you support here on this radio station. It's important. Community radio is a dying thing throughout this nation, left and right. It's really depressing and scary, and something that we constantly have to keep our eyes open for. And we try to do that here on this radio program, and I think a lot of people here at this radio station try to do the same thing. So if people have opinions on that, please give us a call later in the program. We'll definitely listen as much as we can. And I guess that's pretty much it as far as that goes. I have a piece of music. Actually, Isaac, you would like this piece of music.
I would.
Yeah, put the frisbee down before I take it away.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Yeah, this one of the fight songs of the Civil War era, which I know is one of your favorite periods, that I think speaks to a lot of the struggle and tumult that's been going on, and all the things that are precious to us freedom-loving people throughout the world. And to our listeners, I ask that you pay attention to the lyrics of this, because they are pretty damn important. We'll be back in a moment.
All victims of oppression, for the tyrants fear your might. Don't cling so hard to your possessions, for you have nothing if you have no rights. Let racist ignorance be ended, for respect makes the empires fall. Freedom is merely privilege extended. Strong.
by exploitation. No sooner taken, they must give. And then the vanity of nations, we look one upon.
That certainly is inspirational to anybody who's fighting a battle. And I direct this especially to people that are involved in current struggles and fights and frustrating things that are going on. These particular lines, when we fight provoked by their aggression, let us be inspired by life and love. For though they offer us concessions, change will not come from above. What do you think of that, Isaac? Nice fighting song from the Civil War era.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, you like that, huh? Think I can convince you to put this on your website? You like the nice patriotic type of marching songs. You seem genuinely moved.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
It's okay to cry. It really is. Perfectly fine. You were deeply touched by that song.
It's
Billy
sure
Bragg
was.
With updated words, obviously.
Yeah.
But the spirit is still the same. Really, it's a nice song.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's very musical.
It is musical. It is musical. I think it would make a good national anthem.
For who?
For us. Don't you think? I mean, is there anything in there that you would not agree with?
I'm still somewhat partial to the Star-Spangled Banner.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, look who's on the front page of Radio World. Our old friend, Bible Man. Remember him?
It's Bible
Man. Bible Man. Remember, I brought in the Bible Man cape and everything from Nashville?
We had Bible Man right here in the
Bible
studio.
Man, we were Bible Man, and Bible Man will be appearing. Christianity's Cape Crusader is among the highlights at the upcoming National Religious Broadcasters Convention and Expo in Dallas, February 10th through 13th. There's a huge article about it. I'm going to pass it over to you.
There we go.
And you can make your plane reservations soon. Real-life Bible Man is going to scare everybody.
Yeah.
Looks like he's 8 feet tall. All right.
Isn't he supposed to project love and compassion or something?
Yeah, well, I don't know why he has a sword, but he does.
John Tesh is opening.
Now, you might have heard this this kind of scary story about the Super Bowl. You guys hear about this?
Yes, I have.
100,000 people had their faces scanned as they walked into the stadium. Hidden cameras scanned all their faces and compared their portraits with photos of terrorists and known criminals of every stripe. That's right. A command post at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. The digitized images of fans and workers were cross-checked against files of local police, the FBI, and state agencies at the rate of... What do you think the rate was?
I imagine many a second.
How many?
Maybe a dozen.
Micah, what do you think?
25.
25 a second? Well, let's do some multiplication. All right, how many seconds are in a minute?
That would be 60.
60 seconds in a minute. It was 25 times 60.
25 times 60 would be 150.
150, okay. That's 1 minute in an hour. 150 times 60. What's that?
Hang on.
Yeah, get the old calculator out. Bail you out there.
9,000.
9,000? All right, times...
That would be 9,000, yes.
Times, let's say, 3 hours for the whole Super Bowl.
That would be... Well, I can do that one in my head.
27,000. There were 100,000 people there. So obviously that's not going to work.
That's not going to work.
No. Try 1 million a minute. 1 million images a minute. The cameras identified 19 people with criminal histories, none of them of a significant nature. I think that's a significant statement, though, that it can identify, at the rate of 1 million a minute, 19 people with no significant criminal history, but a criminal history all the same.
Better yet, these databases exist that can be matched against.
Yeah.
That should be
damn
news.
Damn scary. That's really scary. I'm also a little put off by the fact that only 19 people out of 100,000 were known as criminals. But
sounds like it's not entirely accurate.
Yeah, it might not be. I don't really see that. But maybe Super Bowl attendees.
Now, did they scan the people on the field as well? Because yeah,
that's where all the crimes are
exactly,
taking place.
That would have thrown the count way up. Yeah,
I know. It's everyone was charged with various things.
The Ravens' starting line gets ID'd. You know,
the most valuable player was charged with murder last year.
Yep.
After the Super Bowl. I mean, what are the odds of that? That's kind of weird. Anyway, the cameras identified 19 people with criminal records. Not significant. The undisclosed first test of the technology at a major U.S. sporting event raised arguments about privacy versus security and questions about the future of such spying and its uses. Oh, my God, it's yet another nail in the coffin of personal liberty, said Bruce Schneier. Never heard him yell like that. Founder and chief technical officer of Counterpane Internet Security, Inc., the security monitoring company. It's another manifestation of a surveillance society which says we're going to watch you all the time just in case you might do something wrong, says Schneier. But USC law professor Erwin Chemerinsky, a nationally recognized authority on constitutional law, said the right to privacy doesn't extend to places quite so public. I'm troubled by the extensive use of cameras to monitor us when we're in public places, but that doesn't mean it's illegal or unconstitutional. People have no reasonable expectation that when out in public, they cannot be photographed. Well, how about this? How about the fact that you're being stored in a database? What is there to assure us that all the innocent people did not have their images captured and put into a database in case they do something in the future? We know where they were. You know, and just what is this technology? How does it work? How do you take someone's face at the rate of 1 million a minute and match it up? What is it that what kind of software is that?
Well,
that's some good OCR scanning there.
Well, you do some you reduce the actual face to a number of different metrics, and then you actually parse for the metrics.
Mm-hmm.
It's it can go pretty quick.
Joe Durkin is a Tampa police spokesman. Said the department jumped at the chance to borrow the technology after Graphco Technologies approached it and allowed it a tryout for free. It's just another high-tech tool that is available. We used it for a week to test it. Wonder how they did that. Evaluate it and see if we liked it. And yes, we did like it, very much so. Durkin said the department wanted to screen for pickpockets and other potential scam artists drawn to the huge... They have pickpockets in a database like that? Pickpockets? You know I'm in that database. I've got to be. We all have.
I would imagine I'm in there too, and yeah. The persons outside the studio in most of Manhattan are as
well. Yeah, I mean, I find that really hard to believe. They only found 19 people. And for potential terrorists who wanted to use the worldwide TV and radio audience to make a political statement. You know, where are these terrorists?
The terrorists are going to be in the stadium when their device goes off, of course. Yeah.
Clearly, the vast majority of citizens would applaud our efforts to make Super Bowl 35 as safe as we did. And, you know, they always get the credit for making it safe when nothing happens. What a great job, you know? We're going to do all this stuff to you, and when nothing happens, it's because we did all this stuff to you.
Did they ask the citizens? Because they're sure the vast majority of citizens would approve this. Did they ever ask any citizen?
Nah, well, no, they're asking now after they did it.
Oh, okay.
And I guess since everybody knows that they made it through the database without getting arrested, they're happy.
Well, that's good.
And I'll tell you, had this system identified some known terrorists because of the size of the event and the eyes of the world on Tampa and the police stopped the terrorist act, the system would have proved priceless. Well, you know what? They have these things called telephones and remote-controlled detonation devices and all kinds of nifty things like that. The terrorists did not have to be in the stadium.
Yeah, I'm the idea here is that they're going to pass through the turnstile and hand someone a ticket and get to their seat.
And that's another thing we're overlooking. Terrorists like football just like anybody else. They could have just been there to enjoy the game.
That's true.
Yeah.
You never know.
Unbelievable. So I don't know where this is going next. I mean, that's how do you counter something like that?
You know? Don't get yourself a driver's license or state ID card.
Well, you wear a ski mask all the time. Mm. Another reason to wear a ski mask. Seriously.
I think there are a lot of reasons to wear ski masks.
Yeah.
Yesterday's weather is a prime example.
Well, if we can invent ski masks that don't overheat you in the summertime, I think that'll be a good thing.
Well,
stockings, yeah.
Yeah, the alternative is the pantyhose, but that just looks very strange.
Yeah. Steel barricades intended to halt a speeding 2.5-ton truck and cameras that read newsprint a block away are among $1.2 million in security measures to protect two Manhattan courthouses for the fifth major terrorism trial here in a decade. This is the embassy bombings. We're having the trial here in New York, and, of course, we have to guard against all those terrorists that are converging on the scene.
Well, they may. That is something that's definitely a... worthy.
Why would terrorists go to a trial of terrorists? Does that make any sense?
Same reason activists go to trials of activists.
Yeah, but...
Bingo.
But I don't think it's really a good comparison, terrorists and activists. One is idealistic.
One is violent,
and
one is not.
Well, yeah.
They're both certainly idealist.
I don't know. First of all, these measures I don't see as being at all effective. We have the federal courthouse downtown that looks like it's in a state of occupation with sand trucks in front of it permanently, barricades, people not allowed to take pictures of the building. I mean, you know, at some point you have to ask yourself, when does the benefit outweigh the risk? And I think it's well outweighed in this particular case. Washington, D.C. is it's impossible to walk around anymore because barricades are up everywhere. Pennsylvania Avenue is closed to traffic. You know, all these things that are the result of, I think, overreaction. I mean, other countries, you can walk around freely, and occasionally you even see your leaders walking in the street. And people don't shoot them, and there's a reason for that. Well, I guess, you know, there's a gun issue, but there's also maybe they don't dislike them so much.
Quebec City has razor wire around it now.
Razor wire around the whole city?
Yeah, it's a medieval walled city, and they put razor wire around it several months in advance of the Free Trade area of the Americas.
But they're like French Canadians. They're just strange.
All right. Now, here's some of the things that are now in place downtown. Two of the world's largest custom-made hydraulic barricades have been installed at the ends of the street running between the courthouses. The steel barricades, which can be lifted to allow vehicles through, are intended to stop a 2.5-ton truck loaded with up to 15,000 pounds, going up to 80 miles per hour.
That's if you can get the deuce and a half that fast.
Yeah. 80 miles an hour, 15,000 pounds, 2.5-ton truck.
Nice big hill.
All right. Then a line of thick steel poles known as bollards, buried 4 feet deep and rising 4 feet above ground, stretch across the front of the courthouse at 40 Center Street, and they're designed to stop a vehicle moving up to 50 miles per hour. So if you're in the 80-mile-an-hour truck, there's an option for you right there.
That's where you want to drive. Okay.
Yeah. Heavily armed federal guards. Now, this is kind of scary. Heavily armed federal guards, their weapons hidden, patrol the perimeter of the buildings around the clock. Some are stationed in newly installed steel-encased booths with bulletproof windows. I don't know. I think they've been seeing a few too many movies.
On the other hand, these are the kind of fences that have been proven to be effective.
Effective against what? Who's crashed through the fences lately? Who's tried to crash through the fences lately? You know, you could wall in an entire city and say, yeah, we have no crime now because we've depleted the oxygen supply, and that's effective. But, you know, at some point, I have to say that I think we've gone too far.
So you're saying that trading individual liberty for temporary security may not be a great handoff? Or?
Yeah, I think maybe in this particular case, it might not be a very good idea. And it's not just personal liberty. It's just the overall mood. The overall mood of occupation and doom and fear, you know, all these people walking around heavily armed and, you know, you're the enemy all of a sudden. Well, you should be able to walk around freely in courthouses and federal buildings.
In general, I would agree with you, but for this specific instance, I think these precautions are warranted.
This is not for the specific instance. Do you think this is going to go away after this trial? The trial is an excuse. That's how they get the American public to go along with it. And then after that, then the technology stays behind. We've seen it so many times before. A few dozen cameras hidden within light fixtures or attached to nearby government buildings provide a fishbowl view of the courthouses. The cameras feature night vision as well, allowing 24-hour monitoring of the courthouses and an adjacent federal prison. Inside the courtroom, video cameras situated near the courtroom ceiling keep marshals outside court aware of what is happening inside. Yet they still won't broadcast it on TV. Okay. Well, that's the situation as far as that goes. What else? Anything going on in your neck of the woods?
My neck of the woods? Oh, it's been a fun crypto week.
Mm-hmm.
It's been quite active. We've had a few announced breaks of various algorithms.
Really?
And all of them didn't quite make it.
Uh-huh.
For instance, a bunch of guys in the Philippines decided that they had some, you know, really fast method of doing a key search for RSA and doing a lot of other fun stuff.
Uh-uh.
In fact, it's even slower than the normal brute force methods.
Okay.
Lucent announced that they... this one actually has, you know, half a chance. Lucent announced that there are some flaws in the pseudo-random number generator attached to DSA, the National Security Agency's digital signatures algorithm. So DSA hasn't been compromised, but it's been weakened. We'll leave it at that.
It's progress.
And then there's the web fiasco. You have an article on that?
Oh, the unidentified web hackers that broke into a database maintained by the World Economic Forum, the group that just finished hosting its annual summit on global economic trends in Switzerland. They made off with information on thousands of attendees, past and present, including Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, Yasser Arafat, and Shimon Peres. The hackers, who claimed to a Swiss newspaper that they represent groups allied against economic globalization, also captured the credit card numbers of 1,400 regular WEF meeting participants. A spokesman said that his group has contacted the participants whose credit card numbers were compromised. We have no idea who did this, but they know it's hackers.
Of course.
Commenting on reports that the hackers had accessed detailed itinerary and contact information about a significant number of participants in the most recent meeting, a spokesman conceded that there was some of that, but what concerned us overwhelmingly was the credit card numbers.
Now, that information was on a website?
Why would the credit card numbers be of concern? Well, they claim it is. Again, this is from USA Today, so you have to have like a pillar of salt attached to this, because you don't know exactly how much, you know, it might have anything to do with the web. They claim it's web hackers that did this. If that kind of information was indeed on the web, my God, more power to these people for finding it, you know, for figuring out how to get around their stupidity, which didn't take very long, apparently. Swiss newspaper Sonntag Zeitung said hackers delivered to the paper last weekend a CD-ROM with 161 megabytes of stolen data. McLean says the hackers tapped into a remnant database from last year that had collected information from WEF's 10 regional meetings. The information that they got was pre-Davos, which is the city that had the meeting recently. It contained a 27,000-person mailing list for WorldLink, a magazine published by the forum, included with 1,400 credit card numbers. This organization does not view this as a prank. It's a crime. It's something we take very, very seriously. Well, you know, if they took it very, very seriously, they wouldn't be storing 1,400 credit card numbers on the web, along with confidential information for some of the most powerful people in the world. What does that say about them? What does that say about these people and how competent they are?
That goes in an offline database, folks. You know, that we don't leave that connected to the internet.
If you have to store it at all, and why do they need Bill Clinton's credit card number, I wonder?
I don't think his credit's that good, actually.
Oh, I don't know. I imagine he had a credit card number.
Well, there's 27,000 people and only 1,400 credit card numbers, so Bill might not be one of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess you're right about that.
Maybe.
It's a clever statement on openness and transparency, says Juliet Beck of Global Exchange, a human rights organization with a different view of free trade. A different view. Anti-globalization activists are web savvy, so it doesn't surprise me that someone might get the kind of information that these corporations get on the public and disseminate it around the world. Unbelievable.
How can you have a different view of free trade? It's not that difficult a concept to grasp, you know?
Well, it's because the word free trade has kind of been corrupted to mean not exactly free trade.
Okay.
We could spend hours on that, but kind of goes beyond the realm of this particular program. So that's the situation there. That's really interesting stuff. We have an update. Speaking of radio information, we did a little bit of research. Remember, we've been sort of talking about the mysterious station down at 88.1
yes.
here in New York City.
We did in Times Square, right?
In Times Square, that broadcast Viacom programs illegally. This is where, in the same year that we're told that there's just no space for micro-broadcasting, that it's going to interfere with everything, and that, no, you may not have your 10-watt station because it might interfere with a 50,000-watt station three frequencies away. In the midst of all that, somehow, Viacom has been given a station in the middle of Times Square at 88.1. We did some research a few weeks ago and found that there's a 10-watt license that was issued, but we weren't able to find out much more than that. Well, we have some information. Mike and I were looking at some databases, legally, that is, not run by these people. But
not on a website. But
No, on the FCC's website.
Okay, on the FCC's website.
What in the world is going on in there?
That was a large group of balloons that just went by.
I've said before on this radio program, and I'll say it again, if news happens right in front of me, I'm going to report it. And right now, I have to report that there are about 100 balloons that just arrived in the lobby. I don't know what that's all about.
Oh, they're heart-shaped.
Oh, is it Valentine's Day? Boy, you know, the people that chase me around. Okay, well, anyway, so let's get back to this. So we found that there is, in fact, a license, and it's licensed to an entity known as Global Broadcasting Company. Now, I called the phone number that's listed for Global Broadcasting Company, and it's disconnected. Mm. Yeah, they're supposedly located on 515 Madison Avenue. They have a permit for a 10-watt, application for a new developmental broadcast station for experimentation with and development of event broadcasting. Now, I don't really know what that means, and I wanted to find out what it meant from them. But their number's disconnected. I do know something. Global Broadcasting, among other things, they buy TV stations and turn them into shop-at-home channels. Now, why in God's name would an entity like that be granted a license in the non-commercial spectrum in the first place, let alone when we're told that there's no room for anybody else of a non-commercial nature? So the questions remain. That's all I've been able to find out. If anybody out there wants to do some investigating on this, it's Global Broadcasting Company, 515 Madison Avenue is where they're located. They have a 10-watt license. It might not even be the same radio station that we're hearing in Times Square. That might be something completely different. That might be a completely illegal station for all we know.
I think it's actually not the same station because they have a map of the licensed transmitter location, and it wasn't in Times Square.
Yeah, but maybe they did something bad. Maybe they moved to Times Square. I don't know. We don't know what's going on. We need people to help us with this. That's really the only way we're going to progress is if people pitch in and share information.
Hmm.
All right. Who needs a laugh? We need a laugh. Things have been entirely too serious around here lately.
I agree.
All right. How about some quotes?
Quotes are good.
All right. These are George W. Bush quotes.
Those might not be so good.
Oh, no, you're going to like these.
Okay.
It's guaranteed to cheer up a funeral procession. Okay, here we go. This was said to Catholic leaders at the White House on January 31st. We can only go back the last 15 days because otherwise we just take too much time. There's no such thing as legacies. At least there is a legacy, but I'll never see it.
Okay.
All right, George W. Bush, January 31st. In D.C. on the 29th, I am mindful not only of preserving executive powers for myself, but for predecessors as well.
That's very thoughtful of
him. Isn't that nice?
To do that for President Clinton.
Yeah. Okay, and this is my personal favorite from the San Francisco Chronicle, January 23rd. My pro-life position is I believe there's life. It's not necessarily based in religion. I think there's a life there, therefore the notion of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Right. It's like somebody left the computer in random mode for too long. All these little phrases keep coming out.
Well, you know what he's trying to say. I mean, you know, cut him a little slack.
All right, well, I just hope other world leaders know what he's trying to say as they listen in his native tongue to words that he can't express. From the U.S. News and World Report pre-inaugural interview, then I went for a run with the other dog and just walked. And I started thinking about a lot of things. I was able to, I can't remember what it was. Oh, the inaugural speech. Started thinking through that.
With the other dog?
The other dog.
Is that
evidently
what you said?
He was walking with one dog, and then he decided to walk with another dog.
Uh-huh.
He has more than one dog.
Redefining the role of the United States from enablers to keep the peace to enablers to keep the peace from peacekeepers is going to be an assignment. All right. Let's finish off with this interview with the Associated Press on January 18th. I'm hopeful. I know there is a lot of ambition in Washington, obviously, but I hope the ambitious realize that they are more likely to succeed with success as opposed to failure. All right, and that's it for George W. Bush this week. We'll try to come back next week with more quotes. That came from a website, by the way. Let's see. I guess I can read the whole thing. It's kind of one of those weird ones. slate.msn.com/features/bushisms/bushisms.asp. I'm sure you can figure out how to spell all those words.
Oh, good old Slate. Yeah, it's wonderful, wonderful.
What's Slate?
It's that MSNBC, Microsoft Network, far, far, way far out of the ballpark left, wacky sort of thing.
Really? Out of the ballpark left?
Well, next week, let's try and discuss his policies, and maybe we can be a little...
Well, maybe next week we'll have some.
Okay.
Let's continue with... some listener mail. We'll take phone calls, 212-209-2900. Look at that, lit up switchboard without me even saying anything. Remember when you were talking about www.codefreedvd.com and how it was cool that people were selling DVD players free of region and coding limitations? Did you happen to notice the price of these machines? Most of them are $700 or more. Yeah, it may seem like people are rebelling against the copy protection and region encoding technology, but all I see are a bunch of people taking advantage of a current situation for financial gain. I'm sorry, but $700 is too much for a DVD player. I'll figure out my own ways around region encoding. Okay, well, when you do, share it with other people so everybody can benefit from this. But yeah, you're right. It's way too expensive, but unfortunately, that's the way things have gone. It's completely ridiculous that people have to spend outrageous amounts of money to get a DVD player that will play a DVD that you buy legally, but that's what we've been driven to. I think we really need to put pressure on the industry so that these artificial region codes are gotten rid of once and for all. I mean, it's really neat to be able to go online in this day and age of the internet and find something obscure in a foreign land that is not sold in this country and be able to buy it and have it sent here. But then you can't watch it because you're not permitted to. You're not in the right region. It's nonsense. All right. Here's a listener. We've gotten a few of these, actually. Some listeners pledged money last time wondering where their premiums are. Okay, well, if you pledge for the tapes, you should have gotten them by now because those got sent out last week. And the other problem that we have right now is people that that pledge for other things. We're trying to get the list of names. We're going through all this bureaucracy to get the list of names of people so that we can send them the whatever it is that we said we were going to send you, the hat and the stickers and the Jello Biafra CD. So as soon as we get those names, which hopefully I was expecting to get them today, but hopefully it will be really soon. We'll get those out to you. You won't be forgotten. Yes. That I promise. Some updates on the... someone called in last week about the IPs that can be traced. Remember that?
Oh, yes, yes.
Let's see if I can find the letter here. Let's see. I'm writing with a comment about the call regarding location identifier for website customers. I'm sure that you have already been told this. Another email, but the site in question is www.infosplit.com. You should check it out as they have some slick flash animations which make their site look a lot like the opening credits to Enemy of the State, which I suppose is a bit disturbing when you think about it. It's scary stuff. I went to that site.
Slick flash graphics?
Yeah, but they have a demo, right? And on this demo, it just says coming soon.
Yeah, I went there and you didn't I find saw anything. The slick flash, but yeah. no location info.
Nothing nothing there. This person also takes exception with something you said, Isaac.
Oh, my explanation?
Yeah. Let's see if I can find that.
I'm sorry, I didn't go too deep, or rather deep enough for him.
Let's see. No, I'll get to the...
Okay.
Seems to have cut off on the top here. Ah, yes, the technology involved with this is nothing special, but I think Isaac's statement about using Whois lookups to identify the location based on the ISP's business office is completely incorrect.
Well,
of course, that approach would waste lots of bandwidth and, worse yet, take ages to function and be wildly inaccurate for many users of AOL or UUNET, for instance, as their business offices are in Virginia.
However, yes. A number of these earlier systems did, in fact, do that. This one probably tracks down various routes and figures out it's going through May East and does a trace route back and forth. Yeah, the fact that these lights are flickering has always bothered me.
Dimming now? Okay, yeah. Now we have balloons and lights dimming. All right, more later. Yeah, well, okay. I'd have to see. We don't know what this particular site does, since it doesn't seem to do anything yet.
Historically, a number of them have done Whois lookups.
Uh-huh. Well, I can actually agree with you on that, because there is another site that that someone gave me a URL to, which unfortunately it's not reflected on the page I printed out. Why is that? Why would they print out the URL? But anyway, it doesn't matter, because I keyed in some websites, and all I got was the city that the Whois information would bring back.
Right.
So it's kind of useless. You can do that yourself, and it doesn't really tell you anything. So, it's certainly possible to take some information, intelligently process it, and figure out where somebody is.
Well, if you want to wax philosophical about it, it really doesn't make a difference where you physically are. I mean, the wonderful thing about this network is that you have a number, and stuff will be routed to you no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's true. But in this age where we want to find out everything there is to know about people.
Then that's another story.
Hey, I got my phone bill.
You got your phone bill.
I got my VoiceStream phone bill.
You have a VoiceStream phone?
Well, I had an OmniPoint phone.
That's right.
Remember, they changed the message. I think half the people out there with... got an update on the balloons out there? Paul's here. What's all those balloons? There's like a million balloons out there.
Yay, marathon!
Oh, it's marathon balloons.
Marathon balloons.
Well, that's something. Marathon balloons. Of course, why would a marathon be without the balloons?
Of course.
All right, so, I got the VoiceStream bill.
Okay.
All right, my phone says VoiceStream on it. Some people in New York, it still says OmniPoint. I think if you weren't around for that SIM upgrade that they send out one night, your phone will say OmniPoint forever. But if you recall, I was in Europe last month, or
yes,
two months ago, actually. It was in December.
Yes, you were.
And I was really worried that the price of my phone calls would outweigh the price of my airfare. No, I'm not kidding, because when I talked to VoiceStream, they said that the roaming rate is like something like $2.50 a minute. And what? I was getting phone calls from people, I was calling people, and plus, half the phone calls didn't work. They couldn't hear me, I couldn't hear them.
Right.
So I had to make them again. So I was really worried, because I was on the phone a lot. But the bill was not much at all. And if you look at this phone bill, especially in these other countries that I was in, Denmark and Germany
Now, it actually says in location, like, name
national,
of city, Denmark, or does it just say international?
It says, this one, for instance, says Denmark in parentheses DK Sonofon, that is the phone company I used, and Denmark in parentheses Teledenmark in parentheses, because you could choose different companies.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and so for each company is a list of the phone calls. Now, it looks like, for instance, one phone call to New York from Denmark only costs 13 cents, one-minute call.
Wow.
Every single incoming call that I got cost nothing, no charge at all.
Cool.
Nothing.
That's how it works in Europe.
I didn't know
they would do the same for you.
But, I mean, yeah, it's cheaper for me to use my phone in Europe than it is to use it here. that's a great system. It really is.
Well, this goes back to my helping you move,
How
The money you save, a
few people have told me, a few people have warned me that there's going to be a second bill. But I can't understand, why would I get the bill from the foreign phone companies first and not the roaming charges? Why would that take longer to get that? It doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
Plus, it was quite a while ago. I also see this thing on my bill that says, included free in your plan, international roaming.
Well, I guess you might not be getting that second bill.
Well, there's also two interpretations to that. Some people have told me that the free international roaming means that you basically can roam freely internationally, but it doesn't mean it's free.
I see.
It's something known as voice stream speak.
I see.
Yeah, so we'll see. That'll be continued. All right, let's move on to the phone calls, 212-209-2900, and see what's going on out there, what the mood of the telephone lines is. Let's go over here. And good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening.
Speak up.
Yes, good evening.
Yeah, speak up and turn down your radio.
Yes, I just did.
Okay.
I've been having a problem with my computer, and I have the Millennium Edition, and what happened is that when I tried to upload something recently, and since then my computer is extremely slow. Do you guys have any suggestions about that?
Wait, your computer is slow ever since you...
Yes, I tried... uploading a program into it, and since then it's been slow.
Well, what's the program?
A flight simulator.
A flight simulator. Well, what operating system are you running?
Windows
ME.
Okay. I don't know much about that or the flight simulators. I would suggest, I assume you're not running the program.
Not right now, no.
Okay. Did you reboot since you downloaded it?
Yes, I did, and it's same problem.
Okay, and you're sure it started just when you did that? I mean, yeah, I hate to say that you know, you might have downloaded something into your system that is doing something bad, but that is a possibility. You might try just deleting that program and looking for anything else that it might have installed and see if that gets rid of the problem. And if
well,
it doesn't,
I deleted the program and no use. I mean, I deleted it, and it's still the same thing. There's nothing. The program is not there anymore. At least not that I'm aware of.
Uh huh.
But yet the computer continues to lag. I mean, I would tell it to do something, and it would wait like 2-3 minutes before it does it. And if I click, it just keeps bottling up like that. And
well, you know, this sounds like more of a question for the personal computer folks, who will be on exactly one day from now, tomorrow night from 8 to 9.
Oh, so okay.
And ask them, because they're more familiar with you know, specifics as far as how to purge something from your system and what the evil things out there are.
Tell them we sent you too.
Yeah. Yeah, we have sort of an exchange program with them. Thanks thanks for calling. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Hey, how are you doing? Doing a great job, guys.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you something. You said you had the web address for the place in England that has a DVD player that can play anything.
That was codefreedvd.com, was it?
Yeah,
what was
I think
that?
So.
www.codefreedvd.com. I believe that was right. If it's not, I'll issue a correction really, really soon. But that's what I recall as being.
Code free?
Yeah, code free DVD.
CodeFreeDVD.com.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, guys,
yes. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can say about what's going on BAI right now,
yes,
is KPFA and WPFW.
Okay, well, we'll decrypt that cryptic message, but thanks for calling. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah.
Speak up.
Yeah, follow the same last guy. As far as I'm concerned, the best thing people could do instead of supporting BAI is subscribe to the Dish Network and look at Free Speech TV, because BAI is on its way out of here.
Well, that's not very nice to our ears to hear that we're on our way out of here. We intend to stay. We intend to keep doing things here. But by all means, support everything that you can get your hands on. Free Speech TV is a great thing to have. I wish I had it on DirecTV. Unfortunately, I don't. I don't know if you can make contributions to it, if they take contributions. If so, contribute to them. And contribute to all the causes. By no means is it an exclusive type of a thing. If you contribute to WBAI, does that mean that you don't contribute to other aspects of the struggle that are going on? Contribute to everything you can. When you're in a fight, when you're in, you know, a crisis situation, unfortunately, the costs go up. You know, there's more to support, there's more to fund, but you don't just walk away from the things that you care about, because if you do that, that's the surest way to lose them. I mean, that's just common sense, and if somebody can convince me otherwise, go ahead, give it a shot. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Pretty good, how are you?
All right, let me show my radio.
Okay.
Yeah, just a comment about the great thing going on at the Super Bowl there. How far is it before they can use the cameras that are on all the public city streets to run the same thing every minute of every day?
Not far at all.
Yeah, no? If it's not here already.
Just a math problem, 60 times 25 is 1,500. So you got 90,000 in an hour.
Oh, what? Wait, hold on a second. 90,000 in an hour?
Yeah. And I'm sure they probably ran more than one view of each person, you know, different angles and stuff.
I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to see the technology myself.
But it's frightful, you know. To know that they could do that. And anybody a football fan? Did you watch any of the XFL this weekend?
No.
I've seen highlights.
Cheerleaders anyway.
Yeah.
That was
X-rated football. I don't know.
It wasn't X-rated football.
What's called XFL for?
It's supposed to be an alternative to the NFL.
Yeah, alternatives. I know. I know you're kind of alternatives, Isaac. I'm just not going to go for that. Good evening. You're on the air. XFL.
Hello. Did you read that news bit in USA Today about how Osama bin Laden and other terrorists are using encryption?
Yes, that was the other one in my encryption.
They're using encryption.
Isn't that remarkable?
Those clever scoundrels.
Four horsemen of the crypto apocalypse will ride again. The terrorists, the drug runners.
The pedophiles. Don't forget the pedophiles.
Don't forget the pedophiles. Right. And the organized criminals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And basically, this USA Today story, which is about the worst piece of journalism I've ever read, basically goes on to say that free encryption needs to be banned and that it is a menace to society and it can only hurt us.
What edition is that in?
I got this on the internet, actually.
What day?
I think it's today, because I know I heard the news story this morning.
Okay, well, we'll try to track this down. Well, you know, it's news when someone says something particularly boneheaded and can affect other people. But, well, thanks for bringing it to our attention.
No problem.
All right. Take care. Let's move on to another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, good evening. Great show.
Thanks. Speak up, please.
Great show.
Thanks.
As always, I want to mention about the paranoia of the technology. I used to listen to a show back in the early mid-90s called The Hour of the Time. It's broadcast on a shortwave station, WWCR, which rented out airtime, and I'm sure still does. It's Worldwide Christian Radio,
mm-hmm.
although all the shows were certainly not Christian. And this guy has written a book called Behold the Pale Horse, which is some sort of an underground cult hit about conspiracies and the government and beyond. But
you have a minute to wrap this up. So.
All right. Well, the whole point is that his whole argument against this kind of technology and the government controlling our lives is that they'll always give you the excuse that it's for your own security,
mm-hmm.
that your own safety mm-hmm. is at risk here, and therefore you willingly support the technology which totally takes away all the privacy and the rights that, you know, we supposedly, are fighting for or give lip service to every day.
Well, the other phrase that pays is, well, if you're not guilty, what are you afraid of?
Exactly. And, you know, I just think that, you know, yeah, the guy's kind of a kook, but there's a lot of truth in that kind of paranoia.
Indeed.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the call. Let's see if we can squeeze in one more phone call, because I really like taking phone calls. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
As an original subscriber to 2600 Magazine.
An original?
Yep.
Okay.
And I go back that far.
Wow.
You covered a community and people's protest. I think it was Poland, where you said 90,000 people marched to a radio station, demanded the ouster of the new...
The Czech Republic.
Yeah, Czech Republic.
Thank you. Czech right. Republic. Forgive my correction. Thank you for correction. You said that this was done because the mass of the people were upset with the changes going on.
Uh-huh.
So there's some real principles that I think people need to remind themselves of, and I think that they go something like this. A win-win situation is all right. A win-lose situation is still a lose situation.
Mm-hmm.
A lose-win situation is still a lose situation. And so far in the scenario that you've described, there is no win-win situation. And the actuality of whether or not WBAI that you first came to and the WBAI that is being run, directed, and controlled may or may not, in your mind, in our listeners' minds, already have been changed. And we... the supporters only have to think of those 90,000 people that went to the station in the Czech Republic and not only demanded but actualized our intent.
Well, yeah, I mean, people power is definitely the ultimate answer. We're going to have to stop there because we're out of time. But thanks so much for calling, and hope people keep listening and keep acting, because you know, your words mean a lot to us. All right, that's going to do it for us here on this particular edition of Off the Hook. And we'll be back again next week with another edition. So we'll be asking for your support then. And I moved the theme
the
away.
Theme, yeah.
I'm sorry, I messed it up yet again.
Happy birthday, Ronald Reagan. He's 90 today.
Oh, boy. You know, now it's not working at all. It's off. The whole machine is off.
Isaac will now sing the theme for us.
Oh, boy. This is horrible. Somehow the cart machine got turned off.
Try that one.
There. There's our theme. And next time you hear this theme, it'll be next week. So we'll see you then. Good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself off my shaving. Now I can't make a call. I couldn't get much worse. But if they could, they would. Or did they bomb for the best? We'll be right back.
Eve is approaching the hour of 9 p.m., just a few seconds to go, before Barbara Nimri Aziz comes in with a special presentation of Tahrir. And she'll be speaking about the elections that took place today in Israel. So stand by.